It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It is good to be seen. I think we can be heard as well. Amen. It's good to fellowship with the family. Once again, amen. It's a privilege to be able to fellowship with you all. I do not take it for granted. Things change overnight. Amen. So much has changed from Sunday to Sunday. So to be here with you all again is a privilege. It's an honor, and I thank God for it. Just really quickly, Lord, we thank you now for your word. We thank you that it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We thank you, Lord, that it illuminates the way as we try our best to navigate through a dark, dying, decaying world. Speak to us now, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Let us apply what we hear. Let us live what we hear, Lord. We love you. We bless you. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So family, as we're all being challenged to read the Proverbs daily, to get up and spend 5-10 minutes at least with God. So as I was reading this morning, keep your finger on Colossians 3 and 5, and then let's go to Proverbs. What's today's date? 24th. Let's go to Proverbs 24. So you don't have to go home and look at the horoscope. You don't need somebody to read your palm. You do need to wash your hands, though. Amen. Say amen. You don't need somebody reading your palm. You don't need any cards. You don't need those terror cards or whatever they're called. T-E-R-R-O-R. You don't need those either. Yeah. I'll just read 24 and I'll go 1 through 4. It says, if you're there, say amen. Be not thou envious against evil men or evil people. Neither desire to be with them. Somebody say amen. Amen. Says, for their heart studieth, their heart practice, devise destruction, and their lips speak of violence and trouble. And then it goes to say, it shifts in verse 3. Through wisdom is a house built, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. That's all you need to know for today. As we're praying, we pray for the wisdom of God. We pray for the understanding of God. We pray for the knowledge of God as we try and build our homes, as we try and build our lives, build our marriages, build our singleness, build our children, build our families. God, give us the wisdom to build. And by understanding, establish it, let it be rooted through godly insight and perception. And then the knowledge of God, the word of God, the practice living for God, shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Somebody say amen. Amen. And you read the rest on your own if you haven't already. Somebody say amen. Amen. But let the wisdom and the understanding and the knowledge of God, let it lead and guide every decision we have to make. Family, is so much going on today, so much the culture, so much pressure. And trying not to be discouraged. We stay in the word. Otherwise, we will get discouraged. We'll think that it's no hope, but it's plenty of hope. And our hope is in Jesus Christ. Now let's roll. Please turn back to Colossians 3 and 5. Don't roll, just turn. All right. Colossians is teaching us the practical, the how. We got into verse 5, 3 and 5 last week, where it tells us to mortify, which means to deprive of power, to kill your members, not the members in the church. Now, all right, we made that clear. That's not what it's talking about. But it's talking about the members of our body, our limbs, our hands, our feet. We have to deprive them of power. Paul is saying that we can redirect our energies and our feelings. We don't have to act a certain way. We can live a godly life. Paul is also saying that we have to actively participate in our spiritual growth. If you're taking notes, and I hope most of you are, or all of you should be, please make a note of that. You and I, we have to actively participate in our spiritual growth. It's not just going to happen. You just can't. You got to actively, our students have to actively participate in their education. You just can't go sit in a class and listen to the teacher and expect to do well in school. You can't go to your job and just listen to your boss and do nothing and expect the job to get done. So when you come to church, you just can't sit and listen and then go and expect it to happen. You have to actively participate. You and I, we have to actively participate in our spiritual growth. It just doesn't happen. So that's the how to it. Then we allow the power of God to redirect our energies and our thoughts and our feelings so we don't get caught up in stuff we have no business being in. Last week, we learned how to do that in Philippians 4 and 7. And we talked about allowing the peace of God to guard our hearts. The peace of God to guard our hearts from, it said, what did it say, from hostile invasion. So it's the peace of God that does it, which is one of the fruit of the Spirit. So it said to guard our hearts and our minds. So it starts in the heart. It tries to attack the heart, and the heart being your appetites, your desires, your endeavors. You need the peace of God to guard it. So when something comes up against it, like this week it did, right? And then the peace of God is the rest. It's the quietness. It's the stillness of God. It's the blessed state of God. And so my daughter and I, we were driving and something happened. And she said, "Dad, remember to chill." So that's our key word now. Chill. That's the peace of God. God. She said, "Dad, chill." OK, you're right. All right. Get back to the quietness and the rest. You got to guard your heart from hostile invasion. And you see something, you go, "Oh, it's chill." Says something. You tell the heart to chill, because if you don't, we went to Jeremiah, 17:9, how the heart is deceitful above all and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So if you don't guard your heart, then your heart tells your mind, "Oh, yeah, you should. Yeah, you should go ahead and do that." See, your heart, because you can't say, "You know, my heart, you know, my heart is." No, I don't know. Nobody knows your heart. You don't even know what you're capable of. "He had a good heart." That's a lie. Right, nobody got a good heart. It says it's incurably sick. So you got to guard that thing that's incurably sick by the peace of God. Otherwise, you're going to be doing something you never thought you would do. You'll be involved in things you never thought you'd be involved with because you don't have the guard up. And the guard is the peace of God. So it's a battle for your heart. It's the peace of God and just the worldly influences. So we got to guard it, and then we find out why. Oh, my gosh. We should have left the mic off. I already know, but here we go. Verse 5, it says, "Deprive of power, therefore, your members," which is your hands, your feet, your eyes, your tongues, your lips, your legs, your toes. You got to deprive them of power. Don't let them take you anywhere. Don't let your feet take you anywhere you're not supposed to go. Don't let your mind go anywhere it shouldn't go. Don't let your hands touch anything it shouldn't be touching. Don't let your mouth say anything that it shouldn't be saying. You need to deprive them of power. Keep your mouth shut. Keep your hands in your pocket. Keep your feet on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Don't go. Don't listen to it. Because if you do, it says, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth." Because if you don't guard your heart and you let your members lead you, not y'all, but the members, your limbs lead you, the next thing you know, you're caught up in the fornication. I knew y'all wanted me to keep the mic off today. You have to deprive them of power. It says fornication, the Greek word, which is porneia, where we get pornography from. Stay away from it. It also includes adultery, homosexuality, lesbianism, incest, and intercourse with animals. I'd never do that. Your heart would, though, because it's incurably sick. And if you don't deprive it of power, your members, then you'll find yourself doing something you never had no business doing. Just look at the world today. And it's not unique to the world. It'll creep into the church and we'll find ourselves doing all kinds of things. Why? Because we didn't guard our heart with the peace of God. And the peace of God is one of the fruit of the Spirit. So it's already in us. We just have to exercise it. But if we don't guard it and let God lead us, and then we'll be involved in fornication and then uncleanness. You got to guard your heart, because here's uncleanness, where it talks about in the Greek, it talks about your motives or impure thoughts. The message behind the message, behind the motive, behind the why you really do what you do. Why you really so nice at work? Why you really so cool at school? Why you really do all the things that you do? See, that's between you and God. But if you don't guard your heart, you'll be doing stuff for the wrong reasons. You could even come here and say you're serving God, but when God looks at your heart, it's impure and it's not right. And that's because you're not guarding it with the word of God. So then we break it down. We get into inordinate affection. That's a strong sexual desire. It's lust, depraved of the mind. Your mind just conjure up all these things and fantasies and all other kind of crazy stuff. Evil, conspicuous, wicked lust for something that is forbidden. You know that movie y'all was watching? What is that? The 50 Shades of Grey and all this other kind of stuff. The books y'all read and all this wild, crazy stuff. I knew y'all wanted the mic left off this morning. I knew you wanted it left off. If you don't guard your heart, if you and I, we don't guard our heart, we'll be doing stuff we never thought about. Why did God have to write about it? Because they were doing it then, and they're doing it now. And it gets to covetousness, which is just being greedy. It says it's fraudulent to the point that you will lie, you will steal, you will cheat for money. Are the stuff. Says you got to have more, you're never satisfied. That's covetousness. Not just working and paying your bills, but you are never satisfied. And man, you know, as we were in our, okay, when I was in my 20s and 30s, all right? You know, it's whoever gets the, remember you see the bumper sticker, whoever gets the most toys win? Yeah. We get fed a whole bunch of lies. So now we think it's about stuff, and it takes us so far away from God, because you get your nice car, and then Brother John gets a boat, and I got to get a boat. Then Brother Brian has income property, so I got to get income property. And then Manny has his private jet, now I got to get me a private jet, and we just never satisfy. Private jet. Never satisfy. And that's not enough. And now I'll get up here and say, well, I need a private jet just like Manny. Family, bless your pastor. Oh, you know, it's been said before. Come, the one I have isn't nice enough. I need another one. As you struggle to pay your bills, bless your pastor with a jet. And it's because that heart is incurably sick, and it's never satisfied, because stuff will never satisfy it. Only God will satisfy it. Paul said, you got to put that, you got to take that, the power away from all that stuff. If you don't, family, we'll be, what is it, chasing down a rabbit trail. Most people spend their life chasing down a rabbit trail, trying to catch something that can't be caught. It can only be submitted to, which is the power of God and the love of God and the kindness and the grace of God. You're not going to catch it. Amen. So look, what was the next one? What's the last one? And idolatry. Whoa. So anything that comes before God. And you all know we are America is an idol worshiping nation. We even have what? American Idol. We're going to create an idol. We don't need God. We need to create an American Idol. The worship of false gods. And that could be anything from your car to your house to your kids to your spouse to your shoes to your money to anything. And you all know that we had one of the celebrities pass away this past week, you know, and Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due, give tribute to whom tribute is due. We get that. But when you worshiping another person, and that person didn't resurrect after 3 days, then you got a problem. That's idol worship. I don't have a problem giving tribute to whom tribute. Plus, you know, that was our era, most of us in here anyway. That was some good time. Anyway, okay, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. Let's keep it together here. That was back in the day. But it's a fine line now where I'm worshiping that, where I don't know what I'm going to do because such and such died. Well, if they didn't resurrect 3 days later, then you got a problem. Because Jesus Christ, that's what made him so special. That he did resurrect that third day. Now, he came and the disciples were distraught, too. They thought it was over. There was no hope. But 3 days later, he rose, not just for one day, but he stayed for 40 days and told them exactly what they should do. Can't be disputed. Because, see, they started writing a few years after that. I think they say the first gospel was written. You know, Manny, the dates get mixed up. But some say as early as 4 years after the death of Christ, the first gospel was written, talking about his resurrection. That's like somebody writing 4 years from now that Prince resurrected in 3 days. And everybody saw him. See, 4 years from now, we would still be here and go, no, he didn't. I was here. That didn't happen. You're not going to tell that lie. Well, okay, Tupac, he's supposed to be in Belize, right? That's what. Come on, you guys haven't heard that, right? Who's heard that before? Now, see, now we've been around, so nobody's going to write that without it being disputed. Jesus Christ resurrected after that third day. 4 years later, writing about it, and nobody said, oh, yeah. And Paul was telling, look, most of the people who saw him are still alive. You can go ask them yourself. This is not a hoax or a joke. This is not anything that's made up. Go ask the people yourself. Big difference. That's why we worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Undefeated, undisputed, champion, King of kings, Lord of lords of all time. It's not an idol. He's the true and living God. Don't get it mixed up. But if we don't deprive ourselves of giving these things power, then they take over our life and take us in the wrong direction. But look at this. Turn with me to Proverbs 6 and 16. As we're talking about depriving of power and our members, Proverbs 6:16. Or don't let our members get us in trouble. See, I can blame it on my members. Pastor, what happened? Well, you know, those members are always tripping. And they'll think it's y'all. But I'll be talking about my own. I'll blame it on my members. I'm blame everything on my members. That's what I'm going to start doing. Pastor, what happened? Hey, you know how those members are. Oh, I do. Amen. So we talk about the God of love. But God, it's a reason Paul said you got to deprive these things of power, because there's certain things that God hates. You can't have the love without the holiness and the righteousness. That's just sin wrapped up in lust. My daughter reminded me, we were in L.A. yesterday. There's a billboard, big, huge billboard, 38th and Crenshaw, 37th and Crenshaw. What did it say, little mama? God loves black gay men. You've seen it, Brother Brian? So I was trying to, I mean, and in and of itself, I mean, that's not really wrong. I mean, it's. Obviously, it's disturbing, but God loves all people. But don't, just a deception. To use the love of God that I could be a black gay man and just think that in that lifestyle that God's okay with me. That's the message it was trying to convey. And it had two men on there standing next to each other, sitting next to whatever they were doing. And so the world is painting a picture that if you don't love everybody and you don't love what they do, then you, something's wrong with you. You're the bigot. You're the hate monger. You're stuck in the ancient days because times have changed. And we know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's why when we had our purpose and purity class, Brother Raymond, Sister Brandy, and I, we're really just trying to teach them about false prophets and how to be pure and watch out for this foolishness. Because even 10 years ago, it was not this crazy. They're growing up in a whole different world. Our kids are dealing with stuff we never had to deal with. And then just the pressure from society where society is trying to make you think that this is normal. And then we read something like Proverbs 6:16, where God says, no, don't fall for that. These six things does the Lord hate. And yes, seven is an abomination unto him. It's detestable to God. But look at the members that it includes. The proud look, which includes our eyes. That's why we got to deprive them of power. We talked about not you might see something once, but you don't have to look again, brothers. And Ivy's not here. I guess my mic isn't working. But men, we see something once, but we don't have to look at it again. And so it talks about the eyes, then the lying tongue. There's the tongue. That's why we got to deprive them of power. And in the hands that shed innocent blood. And then there's your heart again, the passions. It talks about the heart is the Greek word is cardia, which means the seat of your passions, where everything starts. Passions and desires, appetites. And then there's your heart. At the seat of that, it just devises wicked imagination. And there's the feet again. There's another member, your feet, that be swift in running the mischief or running the trouble. You're the first one to be on the scene. You're the first one to get involved. You're going to jump up and handle it like you always do. And God says, I hate that kind of stuff. Let the peace of God rule your heart and your mind so you stay calm. You stay in a blessed state so you can allow God to work and not your flesh. Verse 19, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Here we are again, in the middle of something, speaking lies. I remember Rose asked me, what's the difference between a lying tongue and a false witness? Aren't they both liars? Yeah, but the lying tongue just walks around lying. The false witness says, yeah, I saw Chris. He was there and he did it. Chris was nowhere around. That's a whole nother level of lying. When you testifying to something that happened and you weren't even there, but you gonna stick with that lie. That's God says, I hate that kind of stuff. Making up stuff. Telling stories, fabricating, filling in the blanks with what you think happened. God says, I hate that kind of stuff. And if you're sowing discord among the brethren, all you're doing is just, you know, always dissension. God says, I really hate that. But look at the members. It starts with the eyes, then the tongue. Now, we could go to James and get into the tongue, and I think we've done that before. That little thing is so far out of control, it is ridiculous. Say, nobody can control that thing. You got to deprive that thing of power to say things to get you in situations. It'll write a check that your backside can't cash. It'll do all kind of stuff. That thing is ridiculous. Then it gets to the hands, the heart, the feet, and then back to the tongue. So let's go back to Colossians 3 and 6. So by allowing the Spirit of God to lead and guide us, then it prevents me from getting into things that I have no business being involved with. When I don't, then I'm always struggling, living a defeated lifestyle because I never put anything into practice. We have to actively participate in our spiritual growth. I got to keep my mind renewed with the word of God so it don't allow me to go places I don't need to go. So it don't allow me to continue unhealthy relationships with people who I don't need to be hanging out with. The whole process of spiritual renewal. You can be born again. We can do this thing. But if you don't practice it, it's not just going to happen. Nothing happens without practice and a process. If you're not studying, you're not going to pass that test. You're not. If you're not working out, you're not going to run that marathon. Go run it. Go sign up for a marathon, 26 miles. No, go sign up for a half. What? No, go sign up for a 5K. Is that 3 miles, 3.5 or something? Just sign up for the 5K. And don't do nothing. You say, I'm going to just show up that day and I'm going to run it. Just try it. Hey, Kanae and Chris just did the tough mudder. That's when you do how many miles in the mud? 12 miles in the mud. An obstacle course. Just go do that. It's all right. Matter of fact, let's bring it home on our retreat. Let's climb the wall when we go in June. Let me see you climb the wall and go down that zip line. Without working out, just show up and think you're going to climb that wall. Many have tried and many have died. I'm just kidding. Nobody died. You felt like it, though. All right. Once you got halfway up there and looked down, you felt like, oh, what did I get up here for? Oh, yeah, that mountain bike course. We're not going to bring that up, JL. We're not going to bring that up. That's a tough one. But the point is, I don't know why we think this just happens. Sunday is great. Sunday and Wednesday is outstanding. But you got to go from Sunday to Sunday. We're not going to make it if we're just doing one day or 2 days and that's it. Just eat for one day. Try that. Just eat for one day. Just eat Sundays. Let's say, what time do we start? We start at 9. I'm not going to talk about what time most people get here, but I'm going to say we start at 9. I'm going to leave that alone. I ain't going to go there because I love y'all. I ain't messing with y'all today, okay? But let's say we go to 9 and we finish at 10. That's an hour and a half. So you can only eat one day a week on Sundays from 9 to 10:30. And you got to go the rest of the week just however you can. We wouldn't do that physically unless we're intentionally fasting like that. We wouldn't do it physically. Family, we can't do it. Not in this world today. As a pastor, my heart is really... It just gets burdened every time I try not to watch the news, but I do listen to it for the weather and all that. But just listening to it's like, God, come back tonight, please. But you just look at what's going on, the deception for our youth and just the breakdown of families and just the senseless killings and murder and wars and rumors of war. Well, we had an earthquake in India, then we had one in Japan, then we had one in Ecuador. Just saw, and you say, God, what can I do? Can I do more? Family, we can't make it on just an hour and a half a week. You all got to get in. I can't get into this word for you. I got to get into it for myself. But I just try and set it up so you can get into it, but you have to so you don't live a spiritually defeated life. That's all I'm saying. If you want to live a spiritually defeated life, then what they say, if you keep doing what you've always done, you're going to get what you've always gotten. But as a pastor, I don't want you to live a defeated life. I don't want any of us to live. I want us to live a defeated life. I want us to live a victorious life in Christ. Somebody say amen. Amen. So here we are. Let's go back to we'll finish up here this week and we'll pick it up next week. Colossians 3 and 6. It says, for which things? So those, if you don't put your flesh, if you don't deprive your flesh of its power, then it says, for those things' sake, the things' sake, that concealed things' sake, it says, the wrath of God, the anger of God comes down on the children of disobedience. Oh, no, but God is love. God. No, didn't we just read that there are certain things that God hates? You can't have the love without the righteousness and without the holiness. Otherwise, you're talking about a totally different God. That's not the God of the Bible. Then verse 7, it says, in the which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. So thank God that we don't walk in them anymore. The word walked, when I looked up the word walked, it meant to be preoccupied with. I was preoccupied with fornication and uncleanness and evil, conspicuous, and greed and idolatry. And at one point, we all were preoccupied with something that was not godly. That's what it's saying. And then not only that, you lived in them till you parked there. You just stayed there. Somebody say, thank God for the grace. You not only walk, not only practice the stuff, you parked and just, I'm cool. Lingered, and it's in the Greek translation said to be active. You actively participated in them. Yeah, those things. Let's look at we've been here before, but let's go quickly to Ecclesiastes, so you make sure you understand what that thing is for those things' sake. Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, right after Proverbs. For these things' sakes, what is these things? Ecclesiastes 12 and 13 and 14. If you there, say amen. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Reverence God, respect God, fear God, and keep his word. For this is the whole duty of man. Wisest man ever lived, concluding his other writing, Ecclesiastes. King Solomon wrote Proverbs. He wrote Ecclesiastes. He wrote the Song of Solomon. So here he goes. After I get to everything, I realize I got to respect God and keep his word. This is my duty. This is your duty. Why? Verse 14. For God shall bring every work into judgment. With every secret, there's that thing again, for these things' sakes, for the secret thing. That's the good news and the bad news. All the things that we do that nobody will ever know, God's going to say, I saw that and I got you. The good things, though, that's the good things that we do, the good things that we've done. That's why we don't need people to pat us on the back and we don't have to look for accolades for men, because God's going to bring it all. Guys, I got you. Just chill. Let the peace of God. Hey, look what I done. I just fed all these people and I just got. Well, you relax. Calm that down. You don't need to do all that. That's about you. Let God. I got you. He said, what he said, what we do in secret, our Heavenly Father will reward us openly. And then the other side of that coin, when you flip it, it says everything done in the dark will come to light. Uh-oh. You can't say amen. Say ouch. Oh, and say, oh. But here's the thing, for these things' sake, so no one gets away. That's why you don't have to be upset and envious with people, because no one gets away with anything. God's going to wash this whole thing out. And I try not to get too upset with when I look at the politicians and God says, pray for them. I'll be trying to pray for them. But when they get up there and talk about, well, you know, it's equality for a guy, if he wants to be a guy one day and a girl one day and go into a bathroom, and that's okay. I'm trying not to get upset, family. I'm trying my best not to get upset with that kind of stuff. I'm trying to pray for that politician who's trying to make our kids think that whatever you want to do, you do it. You want to go in the bathroom with a bunch of girls because you want to be a girl today, that's okay. You want to go in the bathroom with a bunch of guys because you want to be a guy today, that's okay. And I'm just trying to figure out, okay, are we the ones with the problem? Am I the one that's tripping? Did I miss something here? And for those of us that have kids, that have a daughter, can you? No. So I'm trying my best to pray these days, family, and not be upset. So y'all pray for y'all pastor. When y'all see something on the news and y'all know, oh, I better start praying for pastor because I know he's getting angry. And I know Dr. Hughes and myself, we're in the school districts, and the school districts are just getting bullied by these unions and these special interests and just trying to lead our kids astray. Because the enemy knows if he could get a kid confused at an early age, that kid will struggle the rest of their life with who they are. The enemy knows if I could get a kid at 12 to question who they are and confuse them that they could be a girl one day and a guy one day and grow up one day and be whatever they want to be, you're confused for the rest of your life, and that's okay. That is a serious problem. So when y'all see that stuff and y'all hear about it, y'all reading the paper, pray for your pastor because I'm struggling with that. Amen. Amen? I'm trying not to be upset. That's why I got to let the peace dad chill. Okay. Okay. I'm trying my best. God, rule my heart with this. Because we know it's a deception. We got to pray. That's why we have to do all we can. That's why I work every Sunday with my young ladies and the young men that come and teach them what the word says. So at least I can't tell them what to do. I can just inform them what God's word says to do. They get older, they go off to college. They won't be able to come back and say, Pastor, why you didn't tell me? Actually, I did. And you made your choice. Parents, we're no match for that. Our job is just to teach and believe God when he says that when they old, they train them up in the way they should go. When they're old, they won't depart. We got to stand on his word. I believe that. I receive that. Amen. Verse 14 again, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. All right, turn back to Colossians 3. And let's just finish with verse 7 again. In the time which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. Verse 8, but now you also put off, cast it off, put it aside, get rid of all these. Somebody underline all these. Not some of them. You can't pick and choose which ones you want to keep. It says you get rid of all of them. Folks, family, we have to get rid of all of them. The ones that we went over, the fornication, the uncleanness, the inordinate affection, the evil concupiscence and covetousness, idolatry, and then we go down to verse 8, we got to get rid of the anger, the wrath, the malice, the blaspheme, the filthy communication out of whose mouth? Your mouth. Oh, God, you good God. Paul is going hard on these guys. Whoo. So you got to put them off. You got to, because that's the old man. Because verse 9 says, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old person, the old woman, the old man, with his deeds. Get rid of all that. The deeds in Greek means practices. Oh, I guess that means my time is up. Okay. So all the things that you used to practice, we got to have new practice, new habits, godly habits, godly practice, godly lifestyle. And the rest we got to pick up next time. Family, I guess I should apologize beforehand that I'm not going to talk about the God's going to bless you today. And God's got a blessing for you, and name it and claim it and grab it and blab it in the seed time harvest. I apologize. Amen. That's not the season. It's just not the season we're in. The season we're in is to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around as a roaring lion trying to devour you. He's only coming to kill, steal, and destroy. And there's so much deception out there. We got to deprive these members of the power. Stay in God's word. Stay focused. Stay fellowshipping. Stay close to God. Stay close to each other. Amen. All right, let us pray and we'll dismiss. Lord, God, we just thank you and we accept the challenge, Lord. It's a tough word this morning. But God, we got to live this thing. We don't want to live a defeated lifestyle. We don't want to just keep getting tossed to and fro I don't want the enemy to just keep making a fool of us as we, time after time, get caught up in the same stuff that God is trying to free us from. That God wants us to be disciplined. God wants us to practice the right things so we can live a victorious Christian life. Maybe someone's here and say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. If that's you, elevate your hand. You say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved, but I want to get saved today. I want to know for sure. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you're here and say, Pastor, I just need to rededicate my life. I just got to get back on track. I got to give God 100%. I've been giving him about 80, but I want to give him 100. If that's you, you want to rededicate your life to Christ this morning, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Or maybe you're here and say, Pastor, I've been visiting and I just want to make this my home church. If that's you, elevate your hand. We'd love to be your family. We're not members, we are family. Be the honor to be your pastor. If that's you, elevate your hand. Lord, how we love you on today. Lord, how we thank you. God, the challenge is when we leave these doors and letting the peace of God rule our heart. Whether we're at home or on the road, where we're with ourself and our singleness, or we're with our spouse, something tries to, a hostile invasion of the heart. God, we got to let your peace rule, your quietness, your rest, your blessed state calm us down and rule our heart and our mind through Christ Jesus. So the heart won't try and tell the mind to do something stupid. Let your peace guard and protect it, Lord. Let us allow you to lead, guide, and direct our life. Give us traveling graces as we leave this place, but not your presence. Oh, we love you on today. We thank you, Lord, as we accept the challenge to practice living right daily. We thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. And we thank you for the abundant life through Jesus Christ. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Stand to your feet, give someone a hug, and you are dismissed.